It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea in for Celeste Headlee. In less than 2 weeks, a critical program for many immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally is going to expire. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA, shields immigrants who arrived in the U.S. as children from being deported. The program's future is still unclear. It will likely stay in place beyond the March 5th deadline, thanks to two federal court orders blocking President Trump's move to end it. My next guest has been working on the front lines in Georgia for immigrant rights and brings her activism, of all places, to young adult fiction. She's a writer. Emory University professor Marie Marcourt joins me. Her latest book is called Flight Season. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here, Adam.
What's Flight Season about?
So Flight Season, like all of my novels, is a book that sort of dives into the challenges of living inside a broken immigration system here in the South. It looks at the ways that all of our lives are impacted by this broken system. And also it looks at the ways that people, through loving one another, supporting one another, and just caring deeply about building a future together, can do that, build a future together. So I hope that all of my novels, including Flight Season, is a hopeful one. But it's a tough time to be writing these stories. And Flight Season revolves around a young immigrant from Guatemala who becomes very ill and lands himself in the hospital. And it's a summer of just transformation, building friendships, and building love between people who really don't expect to see that coming into their lives through this summer.
How did you come to approach this topic in your fiction?
Well, for about 20 years now, I've been working in a range of ways around issues of immigration, and in particular undocumented immigration and asylum seekers. I started as an academic doing academic research on these issues and then became more deeply involved in advocacy and also service. I work in particular with detained immigrants and their families. And over the course of that time, I just have really developed some profound friendships that drove me into action and to a deeper understanding and a deeper desire to help others understand what it is, what this time we're living through is, and how it really impacts us all in all of our lives. And so I began to write, first academic writing, and I began to talk a lot to anyone who would listen about what's broken about our immigration system. And I realized that while we can understand with our intellects, and while most Americans do understand with our intellects, what's wrong with this system, I think what we really need in this moment is the capacity to build empathy and shared understanding more than anything. And I think fiction does that beautifully.
As part of your advocacy work, you volunteer with an organization called El Refugio. It's a ministry that helps families and loved ones of detainees. And we spoke with El Refugio's director, Amilcar Valencia, about the people that he helps with your assistance.
These are people who are going through difficult moments of having a father, husband, son, or a friend detained. This woman, her father was deported. Then her husband was detained, and she came again to visit him. And he was deported too. Her brother was also detained and was deported. You know, her father, her husband, and her brother.
So I'm sure, Marie, that in the work that you've done with that organization and others, that you are constantly coming across very, very moving personal stories about real people. Are you modeling characters in the YA fiction books that you write after real people that you work with? I imagine that could be a particularly fraught thing to do. On the other hand, they say write what you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So while none of my characters is directly one-to-one connected to a person that I've come to know and care about through my work with El Refugio, everything. In fact, every story that I've written, I realized recently, goes through that terrible place, the Stewart Detention Center. Every story that I've written is inspired by my desire to ensure that more people know what's happening there and what's happening in our communities and in our society. I also want to say it was beautiful to hear Amilcar's voice. Being a part of El Refugio has been really one of the most important things to happen in my life. And one of the things that I've learned from El Refugio that really comes through in this novel, Flight Season, more than in the others, is that sometimes what's required of us is to walk with people, to accompany them through their grief and their suffering, and to refuse to turn away from it. And I've really learned that, not only from my colleagues at El Refugio, but also from all the people that we've served and developed friendships with and relationships. So Flight Season is really a story about how to face grief head on, not to fear it, but to stay with it and to stay present to it.
We're speaking with Emory University Professor Marie Marcourt. Her latest book is Flight Season. She writes young adult fiction novels that are deal with the issue of immigration, something that is obviously very important to her. And we're talking about this in part not only because your new book is coming out right now, but also the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, DACA, is set to end March 5th. We're not sure if it's actually going to end on March 5th due to some pending court decisions, but this is the program that allows people who were brought to the United States illegally as children to free from a fear of imminent deportation under certain circumstances. What do you think fiction can do to illuminate this issue for people that wouldn't better be done by journalism, for example?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I have come to believe, again, through my own experience and talking with many, many people about these issues, that what we need to build in order to move forward on finding a solution for something like what our current DACA recipients are facing, about 24,000 here in Georgia, is, again, not only to have a sense that it needs to change with our minds, but also to have a sense that we all are connected deeply, emotionally, and through the heart to DACA recipients in our community. And I've found that one of the best ways to do that is by telling stories. And I do tell stories in my nonfiction writing as well, but in some ways, fiction frees us to tell more profound truths. And for me, it's been really remarkable to be able to spend time sharing stories in a new and really, in a sense, more truthful and honest way through fiction.
Let's hear some more voices of people directly affected by this issue. If DACA goes away, a lot of folks in Georgia could be affected. Jesus Guzman is one of them. He arrived in the U.S. illegally as a child. He now calls Chatsworth, Georgia, his home. He's able to stay here because of the federal DACA program that provides at least temporary amnesty to many children who arrived in the U.S. illegally. Guzman says many people that he knows in the area have been deported nonetheless.
I go to church. In our church, I had met many people that now they not here because they've been deported. That made me feel so sad because many of my friends now they don't have either their mom or daddy with them. I was afraid that can happen to me too or my family.
And let's also hear the voice of Carlos Chavez, who works at a restaurant at Plaza Fiesta. He's the owner of a restaurant there. It's called, that's a large shopping center in Chamblee, by the way, just outside Atlanta, and caters to the Latino community. Carlos came to the U.S. from Mexico City and has called Atlanta home for the last 35 years. He says that that shopping center, Plaza Fiesta, has been a safe haven for immigrants.
Atlanta is still very divided. South side, Afro-Americans, north side, more white Americans. So we're in the middle. We are like fighting between both of them, and we blend it in. Some people like us, some people don't. So it all depends on what day they get up on the right side of the bed, you know.
So Professor Marcourt, for people who are not directly in terms of their own person or their family, people who are not directly impacted by problems in America's immigration system, for people who are not directly touched by what we're talking about, what's the one thing that you think they need to know?
Well, first, I would urge them to pause for a moment, look around, pay close attention, and recognize that all of us are directly impacted by this broken immigration system. Second, I would really like to say in response to those two clips that the young adults who have DACA are extraordinary people. They're extraordinary not only because some of them are, you know, Harvard Medical School students and extraordinary in that way, but they're extraordinary because they are every single day getting up, getting out of bed, working hard to build a future that they know could be pulled out from under them at any moment. They are a model, an example for all of us about how to move forward in these very difficult times. So I want to make sure that we hold them up as extraordinary in those everyday ways, and see them as a part of our community, as embedded in our community, and not somehow as victims set apart.
That's Marie Marquardt. She's a professor at Emory University and author of young adult fiction dealing chiefly with immigration as a topic. And her new book is called Flight Season. She's going to speak Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Little Shop of Stories, terrific bookstore in Decatur. Good luck with that, and thank you so much.
Thank you. It was really great to be with you.
And listeners, if you are affected by the imminent expiration of the DACA program in any way, if you are a recipient, if you are an employer, anyway, please get in touch with us and let us know what you think. Let us know what you're expecting is going to happen in your community, assuming that DACA does expire as scheduled on March 5th or soon thereafter. Let us know what you're seeing from where you are sitting. Get in touch with us. We're at 404-500-9457, 404-500-9457. We're also on Twitter at OST Talk, and you can always reach us on our Facebook page, and we might feature your comments on the air.